Testing. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hallelujah. It is great to be here.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We want to hear from the Holy Spirit this morning.
Amen.
We want Him to speak to each of us. We know that He has a word in season for us, His people. So we just, let's just go to God in prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you that this is your time, Father. We are your people, Father, that you empowered us with your wisdom, your revelation knowledge, Father, your strength, Father. We thank you that we are fertile ground for your word to fall on, Father, and that the word sown in our hearts, Father, it's going to bear forth fruit in our lives, Father. Thank you for this opportunity that we can assemble ourselves together, Father, and orchestration brought about by your Holy Spirit, Father. Thank you for a deeper revelation of our Redeemer. Thank you for teaching us, Father. Thank you for your anointing, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, today I wanted to, part of what I do is as the Word of God is being shared here at House of the Lord, I like to take the notes that I get, the revelation that God provides me, and I like to study that out, make sure I'm getting everything that God is sharing with me, that He teaches, whether it's through Pastor Jim, Brother Brian, Brother Richard, Brother John. I just, you know, want to lay hold of and make sure I'm not missing anything out. And I want to go back to something that God had put in Brother Damon's heart when he was talking about the several P's to ponder for this year. And one of them was pursuit, and started studying that out. And so I want to bring to you what God has shared with me as it relates to pursuit. Things that I've lived out, things that the Holy Spirit has ministered to me, things that I am still working on. But I think that it's for all of us. I know that this is what God has given me, so let's jump into it. Simplify things here. There you go. All right. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So we're pondering as we press into this year this idea of pursuit. And I want to look at it in three veins this morning as it relates to you, others, and the church. You, others, and the church. Typically, you hear towards the end of the year, beginning of the year, messages as it relates to resolutions or things that God would have done this year. And so we tend to make goals, objectives, and write all these things down. It was interesting, I recently found a list from January 1st, 2005, many years ago, of things that I wrote down. I was trying to write down 100 dreams and goals, and just because I read somewhere that you should have a lot, and particularly 100. And they said it's hard to get there, but you can easily come up with 20, 30, and then you got to struggle and dig deep to get through the rest. And so I wrote all these things down. It was kind of humorous going through and seeing what all has happened since then, because I haven't looked at it in quite a while. It was interesting to see what things I could check off and then what things were no longer applicable just because of life. So putting an X through things and just seeing what was really still in my heart. And I let Jennifer read it yesterday or the day before, and so she read through, and she's like, well, there's a lot of things you can still check off that you've done. because it's just happened. Well, a lot of this comes from, you know, whenever you go to a motivational speaker or whatever, they talk about writing your goals down, and they'll, particularly the Christian motivational speakers, right? They'll come from Habakkuk chapter 2, I believe. Chapter 2, verse 2, right? Write the vision down and inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run. So we're taught to write the vision down and write it. And what's interesting, which take you on an aside, the Lord spoke to me as I read this verse that, you know, I look at the practice of what we do, and we go and write these things down so that we can go and do them, and yet God wrote a vision for us, and do we go to that that's already written and implement or do what he's already written? You know, we lay hold of more of the things that, and I'll show you my, don't zoom in, but here's, you know, this old school right here from 2005, you know, we lay hold of that because it came from us, right? It was our ideas in some cases it was God, some cases it was just good things to do, and so we lay hold of, we're going to do this list. And yet, God, and I'm jumping towards the end, but God gave us a to-do, a list, vision, and how much are we so adept at pursuing to accomplish the vision that God has for me, for others, for the church, just as intense as we are about accomplishing our own list. And this is what God has shared with me as I'm just looking at the things that Brother Damon had ministered for this year as it relates to pursuit. One of the things that the motivational speakers they'll talk about is they'll always reference this Yale or Harvard study about people who write down their goals, and those who write down their goals, they end up doing what? They end up accomplishing. How many of y'all have heard of that study? Everyone here has heard of that study. Well, guess what? That study doesn't exist. That study is an actual urban myth. There was a professor from Dominican University who actually went to look for the study, reached out to Harvard, Yale. There were so many people looking for this study from, finally it was Yale, class of 1953, and the secretary, the administrator, had to finally put this notice out that says, look, we searched through our archives, that study doesn't exist, we don't know what y'all are talking about, but suffice it to say, two things. One, don't read everything or believe everything you read online or hear. Secondly, you don't need empirical research to stand on the Word of God. If the Word says something, you can bank on it regardless of whether there's empirical research or not. Now, of course, this professor, knowing that there was this gap, went and did a study. But point is, Habakkuk 2, it talks about writing things down so that we can run and accomplish what God has for us. Now, in doing this, a lot of times we take it from the perspective of ourselves. You know, what is it that we want to do? What's in our hearts? The advantages of this, obviously, is that if we have goals in mind or direction in life, it helps us to discipline ourselves and to add some restraint, add some focus. For instance, to give you an example, when I was looking to go to college, the last couple of years in high school, you start having those conversations. Okay, what's the next step? Where are you going to go to college or university? And that's, of course, all we knew. We didn't know that there was other options. but what we knew was after high school, you go to college. And so for me, I knew, and I won't get into it, but for me, it was electrical engineering. So when it came to college search and deciding on it, it was easy to narrow down the list because I knew it had to be a top engineering school, particularly for electrical engineering. And so what I did, went to Peterson's Guide and whatever other guides there were to look at what were the top electrical engineering schools in the nation. MIT was on there, Stanford was on there, and I'm doing this by memory, hopefully. University of Colorado at Boulder, is that right? Illinois Institute of Technology, California, Berkeley. Actually, I should ask Rob. Rob knows all these. But there was a whole list, right? UT was on there, University of Texas, Austin, and Texas A&M. I visited Texas A&M. Thought those people were crazy. I've told Rob this story. A&M was a very good engineering school, or still is. So I went, and we were in some big old hall or whatever. I don't know. He knows the whole layout of Texas A&M. But I remember I got into this hall, and there's other stuff that happened that I won't go into. But they were, you know, I could see they were, like, trying to indoctrinate us and, you know, teach us these yells and these chants and all this stuff. I was like, all right. I don't fit this mold, but great engineering school. I just didn't go there. But I had all these lists. I was focused. I had a goal of being an electrical engineer. And so for me, having that goal allowed me to have an easier time of selecting college. Because you look at the top engineering schools, electrical engineering for me, and then something else that came up was, you know, going through this process, my mom told me, look, I just want you to know, I don't have money for your college. I was like, oh, okay, that's easy enough. I'm going to do this, you know, with, you know, or without resources. So I said, okay, that's fine. It didn't faze me. And so I knew, okay, it had to come from scholarships, work study, whatever the case may be, but that also helped narrow. And it's probably not good for Jennifer to hear this, but when I was looking at the different applications, Stanford, MIT, top two schools I wanted to go to, they had these thick applications, right? UT, I kid you not, from what I remember, it was one page front and back. I was like, there we go. I'm going to fill this out, turn it in. And I knew that at that time, you're automatically admitted if you were in the top 10%. Plus, they gave me a lot of money to go to UT. I got paid to go to UT. Y'all just don't know. Talking about goals, I knew what I wanted, and so it made it easy to have this selection process. Well, the problem with that, so I told you obviously the advantage is it helps you to be focused, determined, get to where you want to go. The problem with it is that it can be a hit or miss. You understand? I told you, I went through all my goals, and some goals have stood since, you know, 12 years ago. Some goals haven't. Some goals weren't applicable. Some were. Some were of God. Some weren't. You just always got to prayerfully submit things to God. That doesn't mean that we don't plan, you understand? We're going to get to that here in a little bit. But having said that, there's a verse that, well, before we get there, so in doing this exercise, a lot of times you realize it can be a futility of the mind and the heart. Because ultimately, what we need to do is what pleases God and what our calling is. I was blessed by Jennifer. She just went to Florida to visit a university, Southeastern. And one of the things that, what was the question that they told you to ask? Not what you want to be, but what's your calling? Yes. So they taught her to, when working with students, don't ask them what they want to be, ask them what their calling is. Because calling speaks to something different than just a job or a vocation. And that truly blessed me because it's like, what has God put inside each of us to do? We're talking about this pursuit, as one of the things that Damon mentioned for this year. What has God put in you? That's what we're truly after. And I want to share this scripture because if you're like me, many of y'all have wrote many, many lists, right? There's this passage in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And in this, it says, we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. The reason why it blessed me in this context, as God was opening this up to me, is, you know, we can run into the situation of creating all these goals and objectives, and for some, it can be a cause of anxiety. Because what if I make the wrong choice? You know, I was telling Jennifer, you know, how I ended up at UT, and some of it is kind of comical. But ultimately, it was God getting me there. Just, I didn't necessarily know it. But I was sharing with him, I said, you know, what if I had gone to didn't go to UT? What if I ended up at Stanford? And what if I ended up at MIT? I would have never met you, or, you know, I would have had a different life, and I would have been doing this or that. I would have met whomever. And she looked at me, and she's like, Stanford was on the top of my list as well. So God probably still would have got us together. But, you know, it was just, she, you know, outsmarted me. Anyway, the point is that we're bound to make mistakes. We're bound to make errors. We're even bound to not make decisions in probably the right way, but we're still going to get to where God wants us. And I love this example of, you know, when you're going and you make a wrong direction and you're following Google Maps, wrong turn, it always reroutes. So there's no place that we can get here on earth that God can't reroute us to where we need to go. And so I want us to understand this as we are pursuing God, that we realize there's not going to be a jam that you are going to get into that the grace of God can't get you where you need to go. Amen. So don't get too anxious about, well, what if I make the wrong choice? I'm going to tell you something that's probably not what a minister should tell you, but go ahead and make some wrong choices. You know, yes, like she said, do something. Because once you start moving, you can be rerouted to where you need to go. If the problem is if you just stay and you're not moving, you're going to mess up Google Maps. It's like, it's finally going to shut off and say, look, you're not moving, I'm done. You got to move so that there can be this course correction. And if you had told me where I was going to end up today, I would have figured out back in high school a more direct route to get here. But it wouldn't have been God. I wouldn't have met the people that I met. I wouldn't have had the relationships that I've been able to have, lifelong relationships. So don't get so anxious about these steps. Understand that it's the counsel of God that's going to keep us. There's a scripture I'll share with you. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. Many plans are in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord will stand. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 6 is another scripture that I'll share with you as it relates to setting these visions and goals. And this has blessed me so much in my life because in it, it talks about how if we acknowledge God, he will direct our steps. So we're always prayerfully submitting, hey, this is what I intend to do, or this is what's in my heart. And sometimes I don't necessarily hear God say yes or no. And, you know, you hear some people say, well, then you just don't do it. Well, that may or may not be good. You know, sometimes you just do it, and then you can get that course correction. So prayerfully submit things to God, and he will direct your steps or your paths. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7, I share with you, for those who tend to get anxious, don't get so fret up about these decisions. There's a peace that God gives us that surpasses all understanding to guard our hearts and our minds. This is for the ambitious, if you will. For those who are maybe lacking in coming up with goals, and they just want to be a blessing to others. They want to help out with others' visions. They just want to, you know, latch on to someone who has a vision. Now we're in this quadrant, right? There's not a lack of vision here. There's not a lack of vision with different people. You know, there's people that are looking to take over the world. You know, I'm always blessed to go and live through social media of the whereabouts of Moyo and talk to him, and he's, you know, about taking over the world. It's it's great seeing what God is doing through him, and there's others that have come alongside to help with that vision. There's others that come alongside to help with your vision. There's others that come alongside and help with the house of the Lord vision. Nothing wrong with that. The issue or the danger could be, and what God has shared with me, is that we have this belief that there can only be so many visionaries. This is even demonstrated in our educational system, which teaches you how to work for someone. I remember someone had shared a quote with me a long time ago that I've hated it ever since, but they basically said it takes C students to create jobs for A and B students. And I just, because I was an A and B student, you know. But look at a lot of the companies that are out that are employing tens of thousands of people. They were dropouts. They had a vision. And now if I was going to go to work at Dell Computers, which, you know, I believe that I was going to work there one day. That's another story, but dropout. You cannot get into Dell unless you have what? Did he have a degree starting the company? So now you see what they mean by C students creating jobs for A and B. Visionaries. And so we have this mentality that, well, that's not me. I'm not a visionary, and so I just hook up with a vision of somebody else. Well, that's not even accurate. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 tells us that we were made in the image of God, and with that image comes creativity. All of us have creative ability in us. It doesn't matter who you are in Christ, what socioeconomic, where you're at in your walk, you have creative ability in you. Genesis chapter 1, 27. You were made in the image of God. Second thing I'll tell you is John chapter 10, verse 27 says that we hear from God. So not only do you have creative ability, you hear from God. And last but not least, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16 tells us that we all have something to supply for the common good. So don't ever take a back seat to say that, well, I don't necessarily have a lot to offer, so I'm just going to hook up with what everybody else is doing and be given orders. And yeah, there's a place for that. But did God give you all this creative ability to not contribute to the process or the function or the plan? No, he's done that for all of us, so don't ever take a back seat. There's different gifts that God has given us, whether it's, you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about the gifts that God the Father has given us as it relates to helps and administration. I was reminded of in college, Brian had this vision for a spring break trip. You know, spring break, typically people leave college and they go home or they, you know, go with their family, go somewhere. And Brian had this vision that he wanted, you know, this tight crew that we were, this, you know, spirit-filled, baptized, you know, the song we just sang, this crew to have a nice trip. Well, you know, I was close with him. I was like, tell me more about this vision. What do you want? And so he describes it to me. And, you know, God has given me the gift of administration. So I went to work, planned it, did all the research. Where should we go? What's economical? Because, you know, we're college students, right? So we had to fit in a certain, and I tell you, we ended up in, of all places, never heard of this, but Spirit led me to it, Ardmore, Oklahoma. Ardmore, Oklahoma, exactly. The only thing I remember in Ardmore, Oklahoma was this camp where we had it and a Walmart. But ask anybody who was on that trip, it was a very powerful trip. The way it was planned, coordinated, don't ask John about some of the stories of Jennifer and my spaghetti, but that we'll leave that aside. But the point is, you know, he had a vision. I came alongside and helped carry out, okay, this is what you want. All right, we can have a schedule. We can have, you know, who's cooking when? What do we need? What's the shopping list? We had rental cars. You know, I was driving one rental car. Holly was driving another one. You know, we had all these rental cars and headed off to Ardmore, Oklahoma. Oh, man, that was a blast. We had some, you know, water gun fights and this and that. And what's funny about this, so all of this carrying on and just having a good time and cutting up, my wife, she was on that trip. At night, she was just asleep. Like, all this chaos going on around her, and she's like, I'm going to get my rest. And she was just asleep. I was like, how are you doing? Anyway, great for everyone, whether it was relaxation for her, whether it was, you know, carrying on for the rest of us. We had a schedule of, you know, praise and worship, Bible study, teaching, fellowship. It was awesome. It was a great, great spring break. Well, again, going back, it was helping others. And I want to share, as we're looking at this vein of helping others, two scriptures that God had put on my heart right next to each other. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, and 3, verse 23. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, and Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. First one says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Yeshua, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Second one, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men. Bottom line is, whatever you're doing, God should be the focus. So on your job, on your vacation, planning something for someone else, do it as if you're doing it for God. The reason I share this is because, you know, I shared what could happen in this area, the hit or miss, and, you know, what about if I miss it? The thing that could happen in this realm is that we can fall into the trap of unfulfilled passions and desires that God's given us. We're so focused on trying to take care of others that we don't take care of ourselves or what God has put in us. And sometimes it stems from not valuing yourself the way God values you. And it's easy to say that, well, because of what I've seen and the anointing that God has placed on Brother Damon's life, and I know my history and what I've been through, I'm not deserving to, you know, do all that God has called Damon to, so I'm going to sit on what may be of God in my heart, and I'm going to help Damon out with what God is doing in his life. Because we'll tend to value others over what God has put in us. But yet God put that in you. At some point, that needs to come out. At some point, you need to work on that. At some point, you're going to have people come alongside and help you with what God is doing through you. So I'm not saying don't help others, but realize don't do it at the cost that you're neglecting what God told you to do. Paul put it this way. He said, you know, anybody who doesn't take care of his own household is worse than an unbeliever. So, you know, that's great that you can go out and serve and help all these people, but if, you know, your family's not taken care of, baby ain't got shoes, something's wrong. take care of home, take care of what God has put before you. So I wanted to share that, and then we get to this last area, right? Which is really what this is all about. It's about church. What does God have in relation to church? What are we called to do? What are we supposed to do? What's the vision that God has given House of the Lord? Scripture that Damon blessed us with, that I've meditated on over and over, is Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Well, in this particular verse, it encompasses that before anything else is done, first and foremost, we're to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Well, how does this relate into what we're talking about? Well, first of all, the church, we need a definition of what the kingdom is, because the church is not necessarily the kingdom. There's the kingdom that God is after for us to accomplish. And so we're going to start with a working definition of the kingdom so we can get into this. The kingdom is the exalted and perfect order of things which already exists in heaven. Y'all remember the verse that talks about whatsoever has been bound in earth, you shall bind in heaven. Whatsoever has been loosed in earth, you shall loose in heaven. So in essence, what we as believers are doing is say, okay, here's a picture of what heaven is. Let's bring that here. Let's enforce God's rule and reign here on the earth. So what I want to do is, as we're looking at all this, the overarching thing that we're after is kingdom above and beyond everything else. The kingdom of God. This is what we're to seek first, the kingdom of God, first and foremost. It's this perfect order. That's the first part of it. The other part says it's blessings and benefits. So the things that God has as far as blessings and benefits, we are to have here on the earth. There's a scripture when our Redeemer talks about those who've left, and he gives a list, all these for the sake of the kingdom, they will be blessed now and in the age to come. So it was now and then. You know, we used to have candy back in the day, now and laters. You know, you eat some now, and then you keep the rest in your pocket, and it would be a little bit softer later, and you can have some later. Y'all remember those now and laters? The best was great. Perfect order of heaven, there's blessings and benefits that God wants us to experience now, and not just for later. And so this is what we're talking about. I want to read you several different translations of this. Amplified Bible says, "But first and most importantly, seek, aim at, strive after his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right." Says here, the attitude and character of God. We cannot live out the kingdom if we don't understand and know the attitude and character of God. So part of living out this kingdom is knowing God. The Bible tells us that this is eternal life, that you know him and the one whom he sent. So the attitude and character of God. The Contemporary English Version says, "But more than anything else, put God's work first and do what he wants. Then the other things will be yours as well." So when we're talking about kingdom, it involves attitude and character of God. It involves doing what he wants, or as I tell Preston we're working on, is Preston, you need to obey. We need to obey. What God speaks to us, we need to do. The easy-to-read version says, what you should want most is God's kingdom and doing what he wants you to do. Then he will give you all these other things you need. The International Children's Bible, the thing you should want most is God's kingdom and doing what God wants. Then all these other things you need will be given to you. J.B. Phillips, set your heart on the kingdom and his goodness, and all these things will come to you as a matter of course. Young's literal translation, I like this. Seek ye first the reign of God. As long as I'm in this arena where I'm setting goals for myself, church, others, and I'm the fancy word, arbiter of those decisions instead of God, then what I end up doing is setting our Redeemer. I made him, where am I going to write this? I've made him as Savior, but until I'm doing kingdom business, I haven't made him as Lord. And that's what kingdom is about. It's about having him as Lord in our lives. And that involves us having some accountability to him. It involves us being open to hear what God has as far as direction for our life. The focus of pursuit, I wrote, it can impact the management of your finances. So let's take an instance of, let's talk about debt toleration, for instance. Well, some of us are more tolerable of debt than others. And so maybe we've got some goals, or maybe we have lack of goals, and so as long as the debt is not conflicting with our goals, we're good. We're happy. Or some of us will go into debt for others. I had a client call me. I noticed some money coming out of his 401k, still working. And I asked him about it. Hey, I noticed there was withdrawals from your 401k. I want to make sure you did that. And it was him. But he told me that, yeah, I took care of some stuff for myself, but also my friend, neighbor, or whatever, they needed some money, air conditioning and so forth. And I was like, well, you realize you're not retired yet, and you realize there's penalties on that, and yeah, I understand that, but, you know, I was like, okay, that's not the very best decision, but that's, hey, that's your business. You know, some of us may go into debt for others, you know, and how does it relate to, you know, church? Well, if we look at things from a kingdom perspective, what does Romans tell us about debt? So we can either approach it as God approaches it, or we can approach it as what's tolerable for us. So there's a difference in how we pursue. If we're pursuing according to ourselves, then we can make excuses for things. But if we're pursuing it in the way that God views it, well, then it's a different ballgame. I wrote, the focus of pursuit can impact the selection of churches. Some people, and I'll hear this a lot, people are looking for a church. And I've heard somebody say, well, I'm looking for a church that's got a good a family ministry. You know, because I'm, you know, family of four, got kids, and, you know, on the surface, that sounds good. That sounds great. Problem is when you start discounting, well, or putting a premium on that versus the word or versus something else. Well, yeah, the word is taught well here, but they just don't have a good family ministry. So I'm going to go here. Word is not as great or whatever, but great family ministry. And we'll tend to do that, right? Some may say that's right or wrong. Here's the issue that I'll point out is that what if that family, God wanted them to go to this word church and start that family ministry. They're not open to it. What they want is to go to a church where everything is already assembled. Y'all remember that? You know, some things do not come assembled, or this is coming assembled. Some people want to go to a facility where everything is already taken care of. Reason being is, so we don't have to do anything. Is that the right focus for church selection? No, we need to be where God wants us. And an interesting thing about that is, part of you being where God wants you is where God can use you, not where you can just sit. That's a part of being a part of an assembly. There's a scripture that tells us that we each come and each joint supplies for the common good. So even in our church selection, while we're doing good, we're going to look for a church and we're looking for a family church. Well, that's important. So all these good things, but is this kingdom? Is that where God wants you to be? So I just want to challenge our thinking a little bit. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20, as we're talking about kingdom. First Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20 says, the kingdom of God does not consist in words, but in power. Does not consist in words, but in power. Turn with me to Acts chapter 19. And when you hear the word power, I like you to think of the word authority. Because too many times we read the word power and we tend to equate that to energy. Which, that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about the authority that we have that we can exercise in God. And so the kingdom consists in power. Let's turn to Acts chapter 19. A couple more scriptures and then we're done. Acts chapter 19, verse 11 through 15 says, God was performing extraordinary miracles by whom? The hands of Paul. And so when we read this, it's important that if we have the kingdom mindset, we need to understand that this is not just for Paul, that we are to walk in extraordinary miracles. If we're not walking in kingdom, then what we'll think of is that it's somebody else's job. It's pastor's job to walk in extraordinary miracles. It's Brother Richard's job. It's Brother John's job. I'm just a layman. I just come to church. Well, no. We're all to walk in the extraordinary miracles. So God was performing extraordinary miracles by the hands of God, so that handkerchiefs or aprons were even carried from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out. But also some of the Jewish exorcists. I like how that was their job description. Jewish exorcists. Still got them today. Who went from place to place, attempted to name over those who had the evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, I adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. Seven sons of one Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. And the evil spirit answered and said to them, I recognize Yeshua and I know about Paul, but who are you? We're talking about authority. You don't ever want to run into a situation where a spirit comes and says, well, I recognize, you go to the house of the Lord, I recognize Pastor Jim. I recognize Brother John. But who are you again? You never want that said, because you want to walk in the authority that God has called you to. And that comes from pressing in. Matthew chapter 7. Verses 21 through 23. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Our Redeemer says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. There's a lot that we can get from this verse, but first of all, I want to bring to you one thing, that signs and wonders can be done by this green area, those who are just pursuing things for self, others, church. Signs and wonders can be done by those who are pursuing kingdom as well, right? We see this. Well, the interesting thing is, in this particular passage, it wasn't about did they cast out demons, did they prophesy, did they perform miracles. In verse 21, he says, the kingdom of heaven, it's but for those who do the will of my Father. So this is what we're talking about when we're talking about this kingdom mindset. You know, as Brother Damon mentioned and talked about, one of the P's that we're pressing into this year, Matthew chapter 6, 33, pursuing the kingdom first, which means making our Redeemer, Yeshua, Lord of our lives. We submit all of our goals, objectives, prayerfully. Everything that we're doing for others, we're doing as if we're doing it unto the Lord. Things that we're doing even in church, we realize that in order for us to walk in kingdom, we're going to walk in the authority that God has called us to and not take a back seat and say, well, that's Pastor Jim's job. That's Brother John's job. They both have great stories, you know. Brother Scott has great stories of times where they've experienced healing, cast out devils, spoken in new tongues. Well, it shouldn't be, well, I know the Redeemer, I know Brother Scott, but who are you? No. We should be known, all of us in this church, because all of us, not just the ministry, but all of us are carrying out the will, plan, and purpose of God. We're carrying out his kingdom and prayerfully submitting all of our ideas, our objectives, our goals. We're all submitting that to God. Amen.
Praise God. Did you enjoy that?
Yes.
Give Brother Ken a hand. Now dig in your purse and your wallet and your front pocket or wherever you keep the green stuff and get ready to bless Brother Ken as he has blessed us with the Word of God, ministered life to us this morning, ministered direction and a level of peace. You know that when we're in God, he gives us peace. When we're focused and we put our mind toward God, he said that if we keep our mind stayed on him, that he would keep us in peace. So there was as much as instruction as there was and teaching, praise God for peace. Does anybody feel like they got beat up? Does anybody feel like I can't do that? No. It's good. It's good word. It's anointed by the Spirit of God. So we want to bless Brother Ken with that. As you're prepared, stand with us. Let's just bless the Lord for a few minutes. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you that we have received your word. We thank you, Father God, that your word is planted deep in our heart. And, Father, we will not let it dissipate. We will not let it be stolen from us. But, Father God, we guard our heart. We guard the word that we have heard. And nothing can steal it from us. Father, we just celebrate and thank you for this day, for your mercy, for your goodness, and all of your greatness, Father God, that you have bestowed upon us. Father God, we love you. We follow after you. We pursue after you, Father God. Not for the things that you have done, but we pursue you because we love you and we thank you, Father. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Come on, let's just lift your voice and give praise to God. Give thanks to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, mighty God. Praise you, mighty God. Father, we praise you. We thank you, Father, that you have demonstrated and manifested your anointing here this morning, that we have been in your presence this morning. We praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name, Father. Praise you, Father. All glory and honor to you. Glory and honor to you. For yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. And yours is the glory forever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. 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 Now let's celebrate our pastors. Father God, we celebrate and rejoice that Pastor Jim and Sister Lou are raised up, Father God, that you are continuing to raise them up. Father, we celebrate and thank you for complete health, for complete strength, for complete healing that you have already provided, that he has already received, and we celebrate and rejoice in the manifestation of that healing. Father, I thank you that the same Spirit that raised our Redeemer from the dead dwells in their bodies, and it raises them up. It cannot be stopped. It cannot be hindered. But Father, we celebrate and rejoice for a new heart for Pastor Jim and everything that goes along with that, Father God, for strength, for health, for peace in his heart, Father God. And I thank you that you raise up and strengthen Sister Lou, Father God, as she stands alongside Pastor Jim. We thank you, Father God, that they are blessed in everything they put their hand to. And we thank you and celebrate life for them. We celebrate life for them. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Father God, I bless your people this morning. I thank you, Father, that your grace shines on them, that your favor surrounds them and goes before them and surrounds them on all sides so that nothing can penetrate, nothing can harm them. And Father God, I thank you that you always lead us in truth, triumph, and victory. I thank you, you have blessed your people and you continue to bless those whose hearts are turned toward you. We thank you, Father God. Blessed be your name. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. There will be ministers available up front if you need some a word of agreement or anything along that line. Other than that, you're dismissed. Go with God.